Now we're going to turn to another part of God's holy word, and that is the book of Psalms, and this time Psalm 27. As we will read God's holy word, Psalm 27. A psalm of David. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle, he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy upon me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me, nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path. Because of my enemies, do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries. For false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And the last verse is really the text for this hour, although I will have to look at the context with you as well. But the last verse, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. A good word for the new year for each and every one of us. In response to the preaching, let us sing from Psalter number 362. From out the depths I cry, O Lord, to thee, Lord, hear my call. And what follows, Psalter number 362. Congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, last evening by a year-end's message, we were called by the Word of God to bless the Lord for all his benefits. This hour, as we stand at the threshold of the new year 2024, the Word of God calls us again through the Psalms, and this time from Psalm 27, to wait on the Lord. To wait on the Lord, or if I may translate it this way, and I believe some of the Bible versions give that, and I believe it's a good translation, to wait for the Lord. And so we have a New Year's message then based on what David says here in Psalm 27, verse 14. Wait on, or wait for the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on or for the Lord. Now, boys and girls, waiting is not always an easy thing, is it? when your mom tells you, no, no snacking now, wait for supper, it's hard to wait. Or you know that you hope to have your birthday, say, 3 weeks from now, and you know you're going to get something, and just waiting for those 3 weeks, that's so hard. You wish that your birthday was right now, that you could get your gift right now. Waiting can be difficult. Now, when it really comes down to it, waiting is actually a very simple activity. Very simple activity. And yet, we will find that to be the most difficult thing to do. Waiting. Waiting. Oh, man. Waiting. Yes. It's easier said than done when we are told, wait. It's easier said than done. And off we go in our road of impatience. That's a problem. That's the problem that we face when we are called to wait. We tend to be impatient. We don't have the patience to wait. Well, now, before we go off into this new year, 2024, we are called, and which is a good thing, we are called to hear what the Word of God teaches us. And so I want to consider with you this morning hour, waiting on or waiting for the Lord. In the first place, as shown by the experience of the psalmist, that is David. Secondly, as shown by the way to courage, and yes, we need courage. And then thirdly, as shown by the hope for the future, because there is a future, and that particularly for God's people. So, congregation, it will help us, therefore, to keep our Bibles open to Psalm 27, because I will refer particularly to the context as we find this last verse. I hope to concentrate particularly on verse 14, which is at the very end of Psalm 27, as you have noticed. But our text is actually a summary of the whole psalm. From verse 1 and on, David describes the experiences he has had and continues to have in waiting for the Lord. And then also to express to us the success in waiting for the Lord. Then he says in conclusion, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. As if to say, do as I am telling you to do. Do it, and you will have good success, because when you wait for the Lord, it will go well for you. Well, what has been David's experiences then, which have prompted him to give us this particular advice on waiting for the Lord? Well, to begin with, just look at the opening verses of this psalm. It appears that David at one time has been surrounded by all kinds of enemies. But he waited for the Lord, and the Lord caused those enemies to stumble and fall. Verse 2. After that, when his enemies fought against David, again, David expressed his sorrows to God, and God lifted his head high above the enemies all around, so that David could even sing with songs of joy, as we can read in verse 6. And so, waiting for the Lord made it possible for him. Next, reading verses 7 and 8, we see David in prayer. And then, too, he found himself to be successful, because in his prayer, he exercised, and that's important for us to remember, in his prayer, he exercised his waiting for the Lord. Next, David found himself in darkness and with a sense that God was actually angry at him. But then also, David again waited for the Lord by pleading passionately that the Lord would not hide his face from him, and that the Lord would help him, and that the Lord would not leave him nor forsake him. And again, the Lord heard that prayer. Verse 9. Next, we find David forsaken by everyone, even by his father and mother. But still, David waited for the Lord, and the Lord took care of him. The Lord took care of him. Verse 10. Next, David finds himself at the crossroads of not knowing which way he should turn. And so he prayed, "Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path." And there again, waiting for the Lord brought him positive results. And then to conclude with the verses 12 and 13, we find that David was slandered by his adversaries. That's a terrible thing to experience. It's a cruel thing to do, to slander someone. But that is what happened to David. And then he cried out, "False witnesses have risen against me, as such as breathe out violence." But David saw the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, so we are told, because he waited for the Lord. So you see, here in this particular psalm, Psalm 27, that David, in various dilemmas, found the answer to all of those dilemmas by waiting for the Lord. Whether that dilemma was surrounded by wicked and cruel enemies, or darkness and gloom settling down upon him, or being forsaken by one or by all, or being at certain crossroads, or being slandered and gossiped by certain people, David found the answer to all of those dilemmas by waiting for the Lord. Therefore, he ends with those concluding words that we have in our text and the advice that he gives us also to you and to me this hour. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Now perhaps you and I, we can identify with some of the things that David has written here in this Psalm 27. Perhaps you too feel yourself surrounded by adversaries, whether they be spiritual adversaries or otherwise. Perhaps you too are sensing that the rulers of the darkness of this age have become very strong, and that spiritual wickedness in high places is really powerful. Even as the Apostle Paul expresses that in Ephesians chapter 6. In other words, you see yourself in a conflict situation with higher authorities who are busy hatching wicked plans against you and against Christian society. What to do? What to do? David's advice comes to us here. Wait for the Lord. That means don't get uptight about it. Quietly refer all of your conflict situations to the Lord. Why? Because he will stand with you. Your adversaries, they will stumble and fall. Perhaps your dilemma is spiritual darkness. You're afraid God is busy hiding himself from you, perhaps even angry at you. You know what Job said in that particular situation, don't you? You can read of that in Job 13 and verse 15. "Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him." Marvelous words. Therefore, trust him to return in favor to you as well. Trust him in the midst of your darkness. Wait for the Lord by calling on him, by pleading with him, that he has promised in his holy word that he will not hide his face from you forever. Plead with him on that basis. Use scripture. And you know, one of the things that the Puritans would say, that when you pray, always pray with an open Bible in front of you. Study the Word of God and take that Word of God back, especially His promise. Take those promises back to the Lord God in prayer. And so wait for the Lord. Trust Him. Well, David's advice comes to us even at this moment. wait for the Lord. Perhaps your dilemma is that you feel lonely. You feel forsaken. The love of your life has been taken away from you, whether it's husband or wife, father or mother, or child. Remember, God's word says in Psalm 68 that God is a father to the fatherless. He is a defender of the widows, and that he sets the solitaries in families. Remember that the Lord makes it known to us that he is closer than a brother. And again, David's advice therefore comes to us: wait for the Lord for this as well. Or perhaps your dilemma is not so earth-shattering or not so emotionally devastating, but it is nevertheless serious enough for you. You're at a loss at what sort of decision you should make. You're kind of at a crossroads in your life, and you need wisdom, you need instruction, you need some guidance. Where do you get it? Perhaps it's a new job. Should you take it or not? Or relocation? Or perhaps, young people, should I continue with my education? Or, for some of us, should I have this surgery, yes or no? You want to go the way in which the Lord gives direction, but you're not sure which way that is. And so again, David comes with some good advice, and he says, wait for the Lord. But you ask, what does it really mean to wait for the Lord? Well, as I said before already, it is actually quite simple. Waiting for the Lord is leaving your promises, your problems rather, leaving your problems with the Lord. It is trusting in him enough to come up with an answer, to come up with a solution, to come up with a remedy. Wait for the Lord. Of course, there is where we often have our difficulties, isn't it? Because waiting for the Lord means that we are called to have some patience. And we very often don't have enough of that patience. Waiting for the Lord means for us also that we be humble. And that militates against our pride. Waiting on the Lord, or waiting for the Lord, it means being dependent. And that knocks against our feelings of independence. Waiting for the Lord means saying to God, your will be done. And that leaves our will totally out of the picture. And then also this yet. Waiting for the Lord does not mean sitting in your easy chair with your arms folded on your chest, doing nothing, and just, well, let's just wait and see what happens. No. Proper waiting for the Lord is done by activity. The activity of opening the Word of God, studying the Word of God, taking that Word of God, taking those promises of God in prayer to God. That is what is meant by waiting for the Lord. And it is much the same in terms of your and my assurance of salvation. Because, after all, salvation also does come by waiting for the Lord, doesn't it? But it does not mean that in the meanwhile you simply do nothing and you just live your life as, you know, nothing I can do. Well, you have to wait and see if the Lord will save me, yes or no. No. If you desire salvation, you are called to seek the Savior, you are called to do something about it, and you have learned and also to entrust your whole sinful self to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you will continue to do so till you have peace that comes with believing. And you are persistent then in your study of the Word of God, and you are persistent in your prayers as well. And so, is that doing good works? No, but it is doing what the Lord God tells us to repent and to believe. And that is how we come to salvation. And again, that means that you are to wait for the Lord, not passively, but actively. You're to wait, but knock as you wait. Do it with fervent pleading, because the Lord Himself waits to be gracious to you. In other words, if you want to be saved, you need to knock on the heart of the Lord, so to speak. And He is waiting for you to knock. And if you don't knock, you may very well miss out on salvation. And so you need to wait for the Lord, because He is waiting for you. And therefore, I may encourage you, young people, boys and girls particularly, pray on, believe on. And as surely as God's promises are true, He will in due time give you that surety as well of, yes, I know that the Lord has worked in me as well, that great and marvelous salvation. Of course, we have an adversary. That is, we have an enemy. The devil will suggest, and perhaps he is telling you this at this very moment, don't listen to what this man has to say from the pulpit. Don't bother praying. And he'll have you believe that God will do things without you praying for it. Well, God can do powerful things, but God wants you to pray for it. Or the devil will have you believe that the little faith that you might have will really never save you. So why not just give up? Go back into the world and live your life, because it's the only life you have. Do not believe the devil for one moment. Stand fast. Pray on. Study on. Believe on. And expect great things from God. And best of all, cling to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Rest, if I may say it this way, rest at the altar of Christ's sacrifice. Wait believing on the Lord. Plead for all the powerful things that the Lord can do, and that in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this kind of waiting for the Lord will bring you to certainty of salvation, to be sure. It will also bring you to receive help and deliverance in the dilemmas of your life. Wait for the Lord. The Bible gives this advice, and that in numerous places in the Word of God. This very same word, wait on the Lord or wait for the Lord, can be found actually no less than 25 times in various parts of the Scripture. You can check it out later on if you wish. It appears to be a very basic message in many Bible passages. And with such an abundance of those texts, the Holy Spirit, as it were, emphatically calls you and me, especially this hour, to wait for the Lord. Give the Lord the time and the opportunity to do His work. May it become your experience, as it was David's experience one time, even as it became an experience that he had to write down for us to learn from, that it may become your experience, even as it is written in the psalm. Of course, it could be different. If you have never really wanted to wait for the Lord, and have always proudly gone in your own way, you will have problems. It could indicate, of course, that your heart is still at odds with the Lord. You are then still in a state of rebellion, and if there's no change with you whatsoever, you will one day reap the bitter fruits of your rebellion and suffer for it as well. And perhaps some of that bitterness is already emerging in your life. You're a bitter man or a bitter woman. Why? Because you have not waited on and for the Lord. And so, dear friend, I urge you, come to your senses. Repent of your rebellion. Confess this to God and see if He will not have mercy on you. And He will. Waiting for the Lord, you see, might not yet be practiced by you, but the Holy Spirit is most pleased to instruct you to do so and to teach you how to do so. And once you have learned something of waiting for the Lord, you will be able to face life that needs to be lived in the light of the mercies of God. Also in this year, 2024. Well, my next point is that waiting for the Lord is shown in to be the way to courage. Our text says, "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart." Well, vital, living Christianity, dear people, is not for cowards, especially not in this present day and age and in this present century. To be a Christian in this age of secularization and of anti-Christianity and of the Antichrist emerging in various ways and amongst various rulers, it will take some fortitude and it will take some backbone of you and me as Christians. In this day and age, we cannot afford to be weak. We cannot afford to be uncertain about where we stand in our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We are being harassed by forces of darkness today, which are unprecedented. Never happened before the way it is happening today. We are living, dear people, in the last days of which the Lord Jesus Christ has warned us that Satan will have great powers and that the forces of darkness will take great liberties. And we must know, therefore, where we stand. We need to be certain, therefore, of our union in Christ, because the world and Satan will challenge us. We need to be bold to avow our faith in Jesus Christ, and we should not be alarmed at all of what the devil can possibly do. We should not be ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel of Jesus Christ. Courage, dear people, courage is needed. Courage. And from where should we get such courage? Can we, as it were, pump it up in ourselves? Definitely not. Can timely messages and relevant conferences, inspiring speeches perhaps excite us into some courageous Christians? Well, they can get us to think in the right direction, as I hope this New Year's message will also lead you in the right direction. But courage itself, courage for vital living Christianity, comes again by waiting for the Lord. As our text says it so clearly, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. In other words, He will give you the courage needed. And what a word this is, as we need it in this day and age. Because some of us might easily be satisfied with just a little bit of religion. Or we might want to be rocked to sleep with, oh, everything is all right kind of religion. How many of us have not become dull in spirit because of a passive kind of mentality towards the Christian religion? How many of us have not become dull in spirit because of a passive mentality that says, you know, let's not rock the boat. Let's just go on living. Some seem to have no spiritual life left in them at all. And if it is there, it is deeply hidden. What is it? Have some of us perhaps fallen asleep? The Word of God, dear people, calls us to wake up. Wake up. I can't help but think of those powerful words spoken by the prophet Isaiah during the time that vital religion had gone flat out of this world, so to speak. When the prophet Isaiah stood before the people and he said, "Lift up your eyes on high and behold your God. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord? Have you not known? Have you not heard? He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength." And then the prophet Isaiah follows it up with some very solid, assuring words. "Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Those are powerful words from the prophet Isaiah. Now, can anything be clearer than those words from Holy Scripture? These are not man's words. These are not my words. These are God's word for us. Courage for vital living Christianity comes from waiting for the Lord. And the Lord will put strength, the Lord will put courage in us when we wait for him. Perhaps I can make it clear with a very simple example. Any believer should be able to identify with this. We do not know how the Holy Spirit works, but we notice that after a season of eager and earnest prayer, we often find ourselves rather refreshed, and we feel that we can go on again. How great it was to communicate with the Lord God. We may have gone to the Lord at the beginning very limp, weary, worn, perhaps even discouraged, ready to give up and run away. But by drawing near to God and coming close to the heart of the Lord, so to speak, like a needy child, we have felt our spirit revived again. But waiting for the Lord that way, he was pleased, you see, to renew our strength and to give us courage again. And this is the way to that kind of courage that we need for vital living Christianity, by waiting for the Lord. Do you know that way? Or don't you think that your kind of Christianity needs to be courageous and needs to be strong? Perhaps you feel that it is enough to be Christian in name only. You don't need courage, you don't need strength for that. And you could simply drop that name Christian whenever it is not convenient so that you remain safe and you can carry on. Perhaps you feel satisfied to be just a closet Christian, to remain obscure as to your religious affiliations. There's no testimony coming from you, no confession of faith coming from you, no gospel light really projects from you whatsoever, and you are quite content to keep it that way. And that also requires no courage, it requires no strength, really. Perhaps you are brought up to believe that faith life is strictly personal business. It's none of anyone's business. That also does not require much courage and strength, you see. And no doubt you could carry on like that for many, many years. But would any of those scenarios be pleasing to the Lord God, I ask? Well, let the Lord Himself be the spokesman about this. And let's listen to what He has to say about what I've just said. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. John 12, verse 26. And following the Lord Jesus Christ, dear people, takes strength and it takes courage. And then the Lord says to His people, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Matthew chapter 5. And then He also adds this yet, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Now, I dare say, that takes strength and that takes courage. And let's be honest, dear people. If it would have been all right to be just borderline and practice borderline Christianity, or to practice closet-type Christianity, or to practice a personal, my own business type of Christianity, why would the Holy Spirit bother to give out a text as we have before us this hour? Why would it be necessary to speak about waiting for the Lord and to be of good courage so that He could strengthen your heart? Why? God calls us to have a vital and a living religion graced with courage and with strength so that we can stand up for Christ, so that we can stand unashamed about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And with this kind of courage and with this kind of strength, dear people, obtained by waiting for the Lord, we will then also be able to face the future, as I must speak of yet in the last place, as the way shows the hope for the future. Well, we're on the thresholds of the year 2024. We don't know what the future will bring. It appears, as I've indicated already, that anti-Christianity will increase in its strength. To be a genuine Christian in this world will become increasingly difficult. There is a rising tide of strong opposition against the Christian life view, and it wants to drown out the voice of the gospel. Persecution may not be far off. We have entered into a year in which the Lord Jesus has predicted that His followers will have a hard time, and that because of lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Matthew 24. Presently, we know it very well. Justice is perverted. Evil is called good, and good is called evil. Christians are called haters. But dear people, let us not become faint-hearted. Let us not become discouraged. Let us approach the future. Let us approach this new year and enter into this new year with Christian courage and strength. Let us learn to be bold in the faith and not be afraid to spread the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us not be ashamed to stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us be courageous in our prayers to the Lord God, and that for ourselves and for others. Yes, don't forget to pray for others. And let us receive courage then and strength by waiting for the Lord patiently, fervently, actively, and expectantly. And remember that we are told that the Lord also waits for us. He waits for us. He waits, so we are told in Isaiah chapter 30, verse 18. Why? That He may be gracious to us, you and me. He wants to be gracious to us, because of what he, the Lord Jesus Christ, has done on the cross for the likes of you and me. To see that we may be cleansed, that we may be forgiven of all our sin and all our iniquity, and that we may be reconciled with a good-doing and with a loving God. He waits, may I say it this way? He waits that we may embrace him and embrace his glorious dealings with us. He waits to embrace us as the Father embraced his prodigal son when he came back. God, you see, he waits to hear our confession of sins and our confession of faith. And don't let him wait too long for this, dear friends. Thank him for his gracious dealings towards you even now. Thank the Lord Jesus Christ for dying in your place so that you can live. And wait for him to do great things for you as yet, because that gives hope for the future. Remember, waiting for the Lord is the way to renew our strength till we mount up with wings as eagles and leave this world below and enter into eternity, when we shall see the Lord of glory face to face and rejoice and be glad that it was good to wait for the Lord. May all of you have a blessed new year. Amen. O Lord God, we thank you that your almighty arm, powerful almighty arm, will redeem your saints. And we thank you that also this morning hour we could hear of what it means to wait for you, for you are a God who waits for us with the response that is necessary to this message. And we ask, O Lord God, that you would bless each and every one of us as we enter into this new year, that we may do so prayerfully, that we may do so studiously, that we may have your holy word in front of us at all times, and that we may have it hidden in our hearts so that we would not sin against you, and that we would therefore honor you with our communication with you. Help us, O Lord God, help us to wait for you. Help us to be patient. Help us to be bold and brave and courageous, even as we find ourselves in a darkening world. Help us to do what is right and to give a good testimony of who you are and what your word tells us. We pray for our nation. We pray for the leaders that you have placed above us. Grant that they may see that it is good to follow your holy word rather than the woke ideology of the masses. And we ask that therefore, O Lord God, that you would grant to our Prime Minister and to all those who assist him a heart that is turned towards you. You are able to do this, and we ask you, Lord God, turn, and they shall be turned. And we ask therefore that you would remember each one of us. Bless this congregation. Bless the pastor and his family. Bring them home safely again. And grant our dear brother to proclaim the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to the end of his life, that he may do so gloriously and that he may do so with the upbuilding of this congregation. Bless the brothers, elders, and deacons. Bless this whole congregation. Bless the teachers. Bless the pianist and the organist. Bless all those who have a task in this congregation, that they may see that they are doing it because you are worthy to receive all our efforts, all our praise. Bless us now as we leave this place, as we speak to one another yet, as we go home. Take care of us on the roads and be with us. And we ask that you would also remember our boys and girls and our young people, that they may see that it was worthwhile to come to church on this New Year's morning. In Jesus' name, amen.